Friendly Geordie's podcast, how you doing? To the people in the studio, not the audience. I'm not talking to you. I'm mad.
Yeah, and they cannot reply, so
I think I won the argument.
Yes. Silence proves victory.
Every time.
We're talking about Shit Miss Love's Dad Says, which is a recurring theme. You didn't want to.
Okay.
Because you don't think this is hilarious, but okay. I beg to differ. And audience, you're in my good books again. What do you reckon, eh? Eh?
Do you want me to tell the subpar story?
Yes, I do.
I want to, because I don't think it's subpar. Anything okay. that your dad says, by default, is better than what most people say.
It was still pretty good.
Especially because you know that this music is playing in his brain continuously.
I don't need to hear it because it's pumping through my blood.
And you don't have headphones. Yeah.
Miss Love doesn't have headphones, but he knows exactly what tune is on right now.
A single tear rolls down my cheek.
Let's be honest, Croatia Music is the same as a 3-hour meditation track. It's the same song over and over again.
Same effect.
Tony Robbins uses it as a regular in his CDs.
Yeah, this gets you up and go for salami meats.
Dried meats, dried
fish. Do you want to make a salami look like a bus by putting olives on the side in toothpicks? This is the music for you.
God, I need to read more of his stuff.
Such a good sale.
So awe-inspiring.
I doubt that he actually said that.
No, I know, but I just want him to say that, like, but, so badly.
Yeah, I hope he does say it, because I want to make a salami truck.
You want him specifically to do it? Is it a more of a job of somebody on Play School? Why do we have to get Tony Robbins to do everything? He's so dominant of the self-help through health, money, emotional state. Yeah. It's kicking ass in your career.
Housing.
I've got it all.
Yeah, he really does.
Accounting.
Purchasing clothes at Target that make you look stylish with Tony Robbins.
Special Tony brand.
Give us the name. What is it?
It's
name and shame your dad yet again.
It's probably a little bit more of a, oh, you're so cute moment. But sort of still is in that vein. Essentially, he's saying it being like, hey, son, I bought 6 tickets to your show.
So he bought 6 tickets to my show, and I was just like...
It was just one of those moments where I actually just couldn't stop laughing. I was like, mad, I have 20 door spots. I have 20 free tickets for you, but you're a legend. And then he's just like, oh, well, at least I'm contributing to the venue. Could have given me the money. Don't think another venue that's making a ton of bands really needs it, but good on you. How much is that every dad, though? Heart's in the right place. Even when they try, they take money away from you.
This is the same text that he also put in. At the bottom to that response, did he go, wow, 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 wow. One wow for each ticket he purchased? Or am I thinking of a different one?
I feel like that maybe is a fusion of a previous one, this one, and your brain. But I'm gonna let that, you know, be what it is.
Yeah, let it simmer. Come on, it's good. It could be something different.
I like that. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wouldn't surprise me either, purely because of his hat that you know smells strongly of fish. Let's move on to Godsky.
Oh, Jordan, this isn't Jordan's domain, then I don't know what is.
I do feel like the DJ in that opening scene of Blade, when he just presses a really loud beat and goes, Blood, and it all sips from the mountain. Not the best image, actually, when I'm talking about kids.
About public education.
No, it works. But I'm sticking with it. So...
Talk to me.
What did you want to know again? It's because everyone that you know started asking me more about Gonski after I released that video that was also named Gonski.
Yeah, it was a parallel for the ages. I think it. I mean, let's be honest. In terms of what a few friends thought, it was essentially me and my girlfriend's sister stoned on a couch, being like, "Damn, no wait, that might have been the self-help one." Probably the same thing. Essentially,
high on a couch. I gotta get my act together.
essentially realizing the significance of it in terms of. I think the most shocking thing was the numbers in relation to Lithgow, when you saw what their results, funding versus results in, I think it was the 70s or maybe even the 80s, I'm not sure.
I'm so glad you picked that up, Mislav. I was very prepared for you to go, I think the most shocking thing was, you wear dresses.
Jesus Christ, I've got to correct myself there. What's that about, you freak? But yeah, I think...
The second most outrageous thing was...
I think that margin, because I think a lot of people might, you know, be skeptical I guess they're not as informed about this kind of stuff, and it for some reason isn't hitting news.
I don't know why that's the case. Yeah. Ali, what's your theory about why Gonski was swept so far under the rug that it's pretty much you see it out the front of some primary schools that say Gonski's making a difference right here, and then you always see some guy in a ute just go past and go beep beep, and that's it. Well, that seems to be the level of
news. Pretty much.
I hope there was some massive conspiracy to screw over schools, but I think it literally just boils down to, I don't think that's too interesting. I'd much rather talk about Korea or something.
I tend to disagree, though. I think it's really
interesting. No, it is, but not for most people that are out of school now.
Tim has just taken the pen away from my hands, and I'm glad he did. He's just made the podcast 10% better. That clicking efficient sound that you hear in the background.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we have got a few comments about that, by the way. Just like, the pod's great, guys, but that clicking sound,
holy
my God.
Tim was onto it.
Probably should, we should have just gone, it's a technical issue. We can't do anything about it.
It's the microphone.
Hey, quick question, even though you're recording.
Mm. But, yeah, what's up?
Do you have a colour printer at the Blue Fox?
So you're listening to Move FM, the most powerful station in Lithgow. Doesn't have a colour printer.
Breaking the third wall, Tim.
I just broke the printer.
We have a printer. I don't think we have a colour. I think we might. How's that for suspense,
wow,
pod viewers?
That is riveting podcast.
For those.
We definitely have a printer. It might be black and white.
All right, cool. Yeah. Thank you.
We'll hook you up. And if anyone else is looking for some great printer facilities or food, lunch, coffees, or teas, that's the Blue Fox in Lithgow. The Blue Fox, new business, completely unrelated to me, has been opened to the public. I heard it's great.
Don't you think that you would increase business 30% if you wore a spinning bow tie to work?
And you won't, because you're not a team player. You think that just because you're behind the scenes, you don't have to do it.
I've conceded defeat here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lorraine sitting there with weekly business strategies? No.
And every time you ask someone for their order, while they're thinking, you just spin your bow tie.
Hypnotize them. You want the lamb shoulder. The lamb shoulder. Upsell them. So at Gonski, yeah. I think that the real takeaway from this is that the Liberals, as always, are doing a real cheap sleight of hand. This is a classic strategy that they do. They get a Labour policy.
Yeah.
They completely junk it.
Mm-hmm.
And they rebuild it to just the scaffolding of it and go, there you go, it's a house. No, it's not. No. It's technically got walls. Yeah, but I'll freeze to death if I stay in here. Yeah, well, I'm not you. So that's basically the Liberal stance on everything.
That sounds,
I'm not you.
Yeah, that sounds more of a you problem than an I problem.
It's, yeah.
They're doing exactly the same with gay marriage. They're doing exactly the same with gay marriage. That was like a Labour issue that they're now trying to pass in a very, very dodgy way. Just like, just tick a box and send us a postal letter and then maybe we're going to legalize it.
It's the same. It's like somebody in the front bench was the CEO of Kellogg's Corn Flakes and those 25 words or less prizes. They thought, yeah, no, we can apply this to governmental policy. I'm taking 25 years of expertise and condensing it to 25 words or less.
Yeah, it definitely seems like something that's, I don't know, it was interesting to see that side, you know. Once again, Jordan's brought to light an important aspect and subject that the masses just didn't know. And it's interesting.
And what's anyone else doing? Probably working. And thank you very much for your Patreon
donation. How's that going?
It's going great.
Really?
Keep it up, though.
and no slacking off. And so the other thing is about Gonski is that it is about 70% of the funding has been slashed.
Mm-hmm.
They're only giving 30% of it. And with that 30%, 64% of that, so think about how small of amount of money that is coming in from that now. A third of a third is now going to public schools like Lithgow, and two-thirds is going to Lithgow Boys Catholic School.
Just for no reason.
Wait, okay.
Just because they like the idea that you could possibly hit kids there with a ruler and keep your job.
So,
I'm guessing.
Let me play.
It's just a better system.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Come on. That's not what the libs are arguing. They're saying that this is going to be needs-based funding. So whatever schools, because come on, you know that there were some schools that clearly didn't deserve as much public grant as they were getting.
Yeah, except for they're now giving more money to the second tier of public private schools instead of giving some money to Askham, which was under the Labor plan, which I admit, that's throwing them a bone. But that's obviously the reason why they put that in there, is to wade over the rich and powerful from attacking Gonski too much, which is the reason why they give so much money to private schools, is basically to wade over the rich and powerful parents. Pretty much, to keep the cost down for them so they don't complain and go, I can't afford to take my kids to Askham. Well, if you have to mortgage your house to put your kids through education, here's a good idea. Send in a Vaucluse, you numbnuts.
And also, I don't
Vaucluse.
I don't understand the point of Catholic schools anymore. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. Not from a religious
Anglican
perspective.
Anglican schools are fine.
Anglican schools are fine. Like
Protestant.
Yeah, let's go back to the Dark Ages. The reason why I'm saying it is because Catholic schools are, like, I'm sure there are religious parents that send their kids to those schools, but it's also become like a con for immigrant parents because every immigrant that I meet, like family connections or whatever, they all send their kids to Catholic schools, and it's not because they're Catholic, they're like mostly Muslim. It's because it's an illusion that it's a private school and it's going to be better. But the fact of the matter is, depending on what area you live in, the public school could actually be better than the Catholic school.
True, but best not to risk it. Take your kids to private school if they can afford it.
That's perpetuating the same problem.
But that's everybody's kids. It's a classic champagne liberal thing to do. Oh, public schools, what's wrong with them? They're absolutely great. Are you going to take your kids there? Fuck no.
Nah, it depends.
My kids
but is that because the standards
dude,
are
you went down? To a, you went to a public school. School. Yeah, both of you. Yeah, and I reckon I would...
School. It was that was selective. The reason why. And if that, we didn't get in, our parents would have definitely...
I was supposed to go to Morris Brothers.
Yeah. He believed that the king is the head of the church. He's always believed that.
I was supposed to go to Morris Brothers, if not. And like, let's be honest, like, because of the selectiveness of our school, it was like way even more preppy than private schools. Like, if you like came from like anywhere past Newtown, like people in our area would just go, yuck.
Truth. Because the attitude at a private school is, I'm special because I came out of the right vagina. But ours is, I'm special because I came out of the right vagina and I can play cello.
And I can sing and dance. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a triple threat.
Cello.
I came dancing out the
what
womb.
Do we think? What do we think? I mean, I was never really like that. I honestly think I can say, at least not to that degree, but like,
yeah,
you
cello? Were basically picking up the scraps with the pigeons on the oval. Did your parents know how to make lunch?
Oh my God. Screw shit my dad says. What about things my dad does? Do you remember the lunch he gave me once? Listen to this, Ali. This will probably take you back to Pakistan. just joking. I'm sure you guys have way better food than this.
No, dude. Go on. I'll tell you my
horrible
story.
Ali would have had great Pakistani food.
Okay,
but...
so flatbread with curry paste, just raw curry paste from a tin, rolled up, I think... Yeah, that rolled up and served in a wine bag. Brutal.
Did it come with a note saying, have a beautiful time?
My dad used
he
to
meant
this,
to say dad.
My dad used to do these weird my dad used to do these weird things where he would send me like these two pieces of chocolate, like annoyingly annoying, like it was like virtue signaling lunch. It was like, see, I love you, but it was just
Hershey's
enough.
Quiches.
Just like two pieces of chocolate. It's like, I'd rather not anything. It's creepy. Give me like five minimum or four. Two pieces of chocolate.
Were the chocolates? Were they Cadbury celebrations did he used to get blocks. A bunch of calendars on sale that you have 30 days to Christmas eating a piece?
It was blocks. So like Cadbury blocks. You go,
no.
Yes. And it was like, it was just.
So he didn't even give you a cube of chocolate. He gave you two-dimensional squares.
Yes. He did that kind of stuff all the time. It was really funny because my parents were split in high school and I'd do a week each. And I tell you, I was way more productive the week at my mom's because it was like, it was insane. It was like cosmic universes. Dad's, I'm getting a flatbread with curry paste and skerricks of chocolate that are half melted in wine bags. Mom's giving me like camembert turkey sandwiches with like a popper, tiny teddies, and then like fruit, and it was just like insane money. It was like insane. So half the week at school, I'm just like, you know, the teacher's like, so what, who was the first Prime Minister of Australia? And I was just like, leave me alone. And then the week after, you know, bloody skipping down the road, bloody perving on girls.
Yeah. It's like your mum gave you a lunch and your dad thought that you were the garbage man and just gave you his trash.
All right. I think...
Come on.
He confused his son with a garbo. Damn.
All right, Jordan, before we move on, I'm going to quickly tell what my dad packed for me one time, and you tell me which one's worse. So it's basically just white bread with ketchup on it and an egg that the yolk is like not broken. So I didn't know what was in it. As soon as I pressed it at work, the yolk sticked out and came right on my school uniform.
But the egg exploded.
Yeah, it exploded. Because like it was, yeah, because he didn't like break it up or anything. It was just intact. The yolk was intact like a, one of those, what are those eggs? The ones that you kind of grill? Pouch eggs? Poached eggs.
Sorry. Poached eggs, yeah.
Yeah, poached eggs.
Wait, is it eggs. Pouch eggs?
kangaroo eggs.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Do you eat platypus eggs? I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Not in Lithgow. Wait, so is this what you got for lunch?
Not every day, but when my dad tried to do something.
I really want to hear this. So poached eggs.
No, not poached eggs. So basically just like a half-fried egg with yolk intact.
Yeah, yeah.
On a piece of bread. With like ketchup on it. That's it.
Why was one three ingredients extremely gourmet?
I have to say though, one, that's not that bad, I don't think. And two, that's actually like the most English food I've ever heard. Is your dad like from Wales as well?
No, my dad's just like a little
He's
lazy.
An Anglophile.
Is he an Anglophile? Do you reckon? Does
really?
He
loves England.
Does he? Does he just sit up watching Liverpool eating chips?
He says phrases
chips?
Like, he's like that's like taking a coal ship to Newcastle.
Yeah, that's true.
He once said, what a legend.
He said that once. He's like, that's like taking.
I don't know what that is. I'm Anglo.
I had to ask him.
Is he just like in Saudi Arabia on heaps of acid being like, kippers for breakfast? Just pretends he's in Shoreditch. Just like, right, yo, governor, let's go bonk in. Hit some heads in after the football game. But there's just some like prince just. In front of me.
Yeah, dude. He's
get arrested
like,
for sure, running through the streets going, it's Christmas Day, sir.
He certainly has a colonial hangover where he still reckons.
Colonial hangover?
Christmas Day, sir.
Still...
Sorry, yeah. Colonial hangover. Is that what you would call it?
I don't know.
You call it?
What would you call it?
I would call it a colonial come down? I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, well...
Yours is just a nice, easy crash. His is, whoa, what a weekend in Vegas. That's what he thinks colonialism was. What a wild ride.
A wild ride.
The most intelligent of the folks came over, ruled, and then they taught a select few of us how to do things, and ever since, we've been at the top of the table.
That's so good.
Is there any more hilarious lunches he gave you? I'm just curious, because I bet there were some other ones.
One time, my lunchbox had 100 rupees in it. There was a lunchbox, but it just had money in it.
That's so good. Also, the funny thing about that is when you said rupees, I just imagined like a treasure chest of a lunchbox, like diamonds and shit.
Well, I wish. It barely got me a burger.
Oh, yeah, right. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd imagine 100 rupees here.
What is that?
Would get you possibly a blowjob in like King's Cross with one of those prostitutes that has like a really sparkly dress. Is that right?
Damn. Yeah, I used that money to get a blowjob. I don't know how you... just went to the slutty teacher.
Pakistan. this reminds me of a story that we've had for years about Pakistan. When I said to Ali, how much does a prostitute cost in Pakistan? Mm-hmm. He obviously just knows from word of mouth. I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I hang out with seedy prostitutes in third world countries all the time.
Hey, when in Rome.
Apparently, you could get a prostitute there for a dollar.
No.
Yes. Well, I'm guessing, like, because I know things are cheap and...
cheaper than a Dunkaroo.
But I'm sure you would be able to get a... Okay, this sounds pretty bad, but like, just being real... you'd probably be able to get like a transvestite prostitute for that money.
Oh, so you couldn't get a full-blown puss. You'd have to get a fake one.
Maybe $200 for that?
$200?
I don't
it's
know.
It's cheaper here.
Dude, I'm talking about like the bottom of the ladder. Like literally the ones that go about on the street. And then if you look at them and they look at you and they'll be like, all right, so 200 rupees, you want to do it or what?
Yeah, they start always with, you ain't a copper, are you?
Yeah.
I'm just visualizing.
Are you a copper? Are you a copper?
Just visualizing the contrast of this conversation to Ali when me and Jordan were just on air. Praising Catholicism was too racy.
That's right. Because you've got to remember, some people aren't Catholic.
Praising
and now we're
it.
Sitting there going, $2 for a prostitute.
Transvestite prostitute. Oh, man. So
oh, this
racy.
Is a perfect time to tie in.
Yeah, and then like I'll finish this off with what Jordan and another friend of ours, who's if he's listening, Di, said. Yeah. Wait, does that mean I can get 5 S's for $5?
It became a chant. $5.
It did not. It did not.
$5 for 5 S's. It was one of the happiest days of my life, I've got to say.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Let's move on to, because this is just perfect to tie into this. Miss Love and I are obsessed with Rocco Siffredi. Ali still doesn't know who Rocco Siffredi is, and I'm pretty sure 90% of the audience doesn't, but somebody did write into me going, man, if you think Rocco Siffredi's hilarious, you got to check out this other guy.
I love our audience.
It's great. They understand that that's probably the most hilarious existence in all of human history. A Eurotrash male porn star.
Jeez.
I've heard a lot about this gentleman.
Dude, I don't know why I'm in... I really... can't.
It's his poor grasp on English. That's what I'm telling you.
It definitely plays a huge role. And also...
it's just your dad, except for instead of being an artist, he's an artist of bending the boos.
They are... yeah, absolutely. They're on a different plane. I don't know what... I don't know, man. I mean, part of me, to Ali, I just want to say, run! It's a stampede! But at the same time, it's like, damn... come, as he would say, why don't you come join the fun?
But, we haven't said it in poor enough grammatically incorrect English. Oh, yeah. He actually says, hey, you, king, king, come on, come to have fun. And, okay, so I've been watching his videos purely for research.
I bet, buddy.
This is a quote. So this is just going to hang on. This is, from now on, your dad is Rocco Siffredi. This is dad quotes from now on.
Okay.
Okay, so he's eating out some chick. And the girl's porn star name has apple in it. Mm. And so he goes, yes, baby, yes. Oh, is this how you eat the apple in the US? We have to eat the apple differently in Italy. Yes, we eat it differently in Italy. No.
This man is
so weird. I have a question for you. This just came to me. What would happen if we put these guys in power?
Oh, dude.
Would it just be tax reforms on eating the booze? It would, like, what would happen?
They'd reckon that the biggest way to make money for the country is to charge entry fee to their parties. Because they've got the best parties in town. It was like, that's gonna fix the budget.
It would be so fitting, though, if Italy did have a male porn star as its president.
Well, I'm pretty sure that last one pretty much
was. I was gonna say, well, dude, if any country comes close to having a porn star as their president, it has to be Italy.
Ex-mafia and, like, known to grab chicks' asses. Like other politicians. Like, yeah, you like this?
What, to the German chancellor?
Yeah.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
Yes. Yeah, like... Berlusconi, didn't he say that when he was asked what are the two things you like the most, he's like, spaghetti and prostate massage.
What a
that's probably not true, but
it's, I don't know who's better. Who's Berlusconi or Freddy?
I think we've just landed on something here. Let's just move to Italy. They seem to do it right.
Are we in agreement? Is Italian men the pinnacle of hilarity? Is there nothing more hilarious the universe has ever produced than
I'm calling that. I'm going to throw in there Eastern Europeans as well.
Exactly. All right.
Nationalism.
All right, but hey, over 45.
Nationalism kicks in.
Nationalism, fair enough. I mean, Nazis aren't that funny.
No, dude.
You don't mean that, though.
No, they're Central European, though.
What?
So we still take the cake.
Oh.
They were interested in ethnic cleansing. We're interested in just debuse
and calamari.
All right.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I mean, just his oh my git. These.
He definitely
like
says
these.
That. He says God as if it's spelled G E T.
No.
G-A-T.
Do you reckon it's Gat? It's as in the slang that they use in Compton for a Uzi.
Yeah.
Is that so?
Oh my god.
Ice Cube.
All right, let's move on to I'm going to kill Google.
Oh, here we go.
What does that mean?
I know what this is about.
Tell us all about it.
Wait, was Ali, this about the letter that guy?
It was.
I've been following it.
Yeah, baby.
It's pretty interesting, actually.
Me and Jordan.
That's really odd for you, Ali, because that's such small potatoes in your world.
Yeah.
You are focused on Donald Trump and North Korea fighting it out, and also,
what, a guy can't say that chicks are better at talking to people? Is that too wrong now?
No, dude, I'm actually, because, dude, this is a much bigger issue than you can imagine.
Freedom
like, just the
speech.
Other day, white nationalist and anti-white nationalist.
A guy
had,
died.
Like,
girl died, sorry.
A girl died. Like, this white nationalist just drove a car. And, like, this is a serious problem. So we're like, our worlds are divided into two camps,
they're
which
getting
means...
more and more radical on each side.
Brace yourself for a fight.
I reckon I don't want to sound like Alex Jones here, but a civil war is coming, people. There's WikiLeaks on this. The WikiLeaks are out on this, okay? I've been saying this for years. And I'm not saying this, you know, the right-wing Soros, you name it. And I'm not saying this to big myself up. I'm not that kind of guy, but it's coming.
It's coming. And you know what freaked me out? I saw the potential of this after Trump got elected. And remember, there were protests? So I always knew that there are groups within America, because everyone's got guns, that are, like, obviously pro-Donald Trump, have sympathies for the Ku Klux Klan that are kind of crazy. But after those protests, I realized that people on our side can also be quite crazy, man.
I think it's pretty even, man.
Well, I don't... Well,
and that's what we
you
were
could
talking
argue.
About yesterday is...
But that was
the
a terrible.
Vast majority of Trump winning was mostly because our side is so annoying. That's pretty much it. And it was such a... We were talking about it, Ali and I. Ali is a Marxist. I am constantly advocating centre-left parties. That's my entire life.
You know what?
And even I enjoy Trump winning just to see those annoying chicks that have stupid tie-dye shirts go, nah.
And you know what I was thinking?
I'm glad that they got out of... It was worth getting out of the Paris Accord. It was worth
it. But you know,
Lena Dunham's face was so valuable.
But you know what I was thinking, just as a quick side note? Yeah. I was just thinking... anyone being able to, and you got like anyone, you know, you sort of know my stance, but anyone being able to justify legitimate Nazism and white nationalism, whether some people said they're patsies and they're actors, blah, 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 but irrelevant of that. I mean, there are neo-Nazis and stuff in America. I mean, I don't know what the proportion is; it would be tiny, but there are.
Yeah, I'd imagine it'd be really.
But
really
the thing
minute.
Is, but this is what I was thinking, right? You can't be, I mean, you can, but it doesn't make logical, it's un-American completely to be a Nazi.
You can't. It doesn't make sense. They fought. They sent people to die to fight against the Nazis, right? You can't do.
The thing. That's why this is much more dangerous than you can even imagine. These guys aren't going for Nazism as an ideological preference. They're not like, oh, right. I read Hitler's book and I reckon that guy's cool.
Yeah.
These guys are reactionaries.
Which. So, Ali did and was saying, yeah, he's a pretty impressive guy.
Oh, dude, I have the story.
He read Mein Kampf.
I was reading Mein Kampf and I was going to Jordan's house, which is in Bondi.
AKA Jewtown.
Yeah, and I didn't think of that. So Jordan, I think Jordan asked me to get something, or maybe I wanted to get like a 6-pack of beer or something. So I go into this random shop, right? And I'm holding that book.
Oh no!
I get the beer. I go up to the counter, and the guy's like,
"What is that?"
No. He literally says, "He was a good writer, but he was also a racist bastard." And I'm just like, because I didn't like immediately register because I was like, wait, why are you talking to me first of all? And also, yeah, I don't know what you're saying. And he's like, I've read that piece of shit. And then I realize I've got the book in my hand. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm just doing it as like my research project.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, read it. He's crazy. And then I get out of the place and I literally look up to the name of the shop and it was called Kosher Supermarket.
Whoa. Well, that reaction was probably actually pretty good.
I was thinking that it was going to be called Big Nose Deli. But it's even more Jewish, Kosher Supermarket.
Kosher. Yeah. That reaction's actually probably like quite like reserved considering, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, dude.
All I'm saying is I can't even take white supremacists seriously in America. I mean, I can when they're killing people, obviously, but I'm saying it just doesn't make sense. You can't be like, you can't hold an American flag and a Nazi flag. It's like Americans died to fight that. They're in direct opposition.
Well, a lot of Americans have also died in pursuit of installing dictators where a democracy was. So Vietnam
But that's not an ideology. That's still in the name of democracy, right? Even if it's crony. I mean, like, do you know what I mean? That's not fascism, right?
Damn. Miss Love, a universe thinking down.
But Miss Love, that's what I'm saying. Dude, it doesn't matter. They're not actually white supremacists.
There's a floating dog in the universe. Just slowly gravitating towards the sun.
Woof, woof.
I want some schmackers. No, but back to that. Yeah, but I want Ali to... I think I want to hear Ali's opinion on this. Yeah.
About?
I mean, all of it.
Okay.
All of it. The idea of each fraction getting more radical. My tidbit opinion is that there's uneducation on both sides. They take straw men on both sides, and then they radicalize based on bullshit on both sides. Some of it's justified. The majority is definitely not justified.
Dude, it's got in my opinion, it's got nothing to do with education. You can be the most educated person and you could be spousing something that is so my take on this is, again, this is a theory.
No, I want
to know. In a globalized world, our identities, what we call ourselves, is becoming morphed and is somewhat in contrast. So back in the day, if you were living in the 17th century, most people around you looked pretty much like you. Were some of the same background, had the same sort of aspirations.
A lot more hunchbacks, though.
Yeah, a lot more hunchbacks, and there were heaps. So, like, hunchbacks got along with other hunchbacks, and they were living in each other's neighborhoods.
Being baked haters.
Yeah. So, for example, me, all right? Let's take an example of me. Grew up in Pakistan, supposedly Muslim. Well, let's say I am Muslim, right? Let's forget for a brief period that I'm an atheist.
You frequently get ham and pineapple from Pizza Hut.
Ham and pineapple. I just had pork belly at Blue Fox, which I highly recommend.
I've heard of that place.
No, yes. Pork belly was great. Don't get the chicken.
Chicken wings?
No, the chicken wings are great. The
Spanish chicken?
It's just the pork belly was way better than the chicken.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I haven't eaten that. I haven't like a quarter of the food. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah. Okay. So someone like me, now I come to Australia, right? Now now that I'm Australian, my identity is somewhat Australian. My identity can also be Muslim. My identity can also be an immigrant from Pakistan. these are all identities that exist within me, and there's a need for humans to define themselves. You might think that this is not that important of an issue, but for most human beings, their identity is probably the most important factor about them. In fact, when people say that they're Catholic or people say that they're religious, more importantly than the belief in God, it is they're describing themselves. So, like, for example, in America, 75% of the people say that they're Christian. Do you really think 75% of the people go to church?
No.
They don't. They're not actually practicing Christians, but it's part of their identity. Ooh, so when you're
so
living
it's only
in this
71%. so low.
So yeah. When you're living in
you
like
call
this
yourself God-fearing?
Yes.
So when you're living in this highly globalized world, these competing identities won't always complement each other. So they're in contradiction, which means that it creates friction within society. And when you see a lot of people that are kind of different, you go into these camps. It's less to do with them and more to do with you. Of by saying someone is not as good as you, what you're really trying to say is that you're better. Like you yourself are
good.
So
you're saying it's identity politics.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that
in a roundabout way.
In a roundabout, the identity, but not just.
No, yeah.
And because of this, a lot of people, because of how they want to define their identities, tend to go towards, for example, neo-Nazism. That's why I'm saying that they're not actually, they don't care about Nazism
per
se. They're antagonizers, and everyone is, because that's how, by antagonizing, they can tell who they are. Because other than that, they won't be able to say who they are.
But that's not true. You can be the biggest centrist in the world. You have just as big an identity. It's just that it takes probably an hour longer to decipher that. It's like, yeah, I have, like, you have to go through each policy. It's like, do you think the tax rate should be 75 or 85? It's like, I think it should be
60. It's hard to, dude, I mean? For young people in their 20s or
is
whatever,
this just people
it's
being
hard.
Is this just dumb kids? Like, is
no, no,
dude, dumber?
I wouldn't say it's dumb. It's really hard to come up. It's really hard to define yourself from a very, like, if
why?
You're saying you're
why?
A centrist, then it's very lukewarm.
Okay, fine.
How do you define yourself then?
By your individual take on things. You don't have to subscribe to a sports team. You know what I mean? Which is what people are doing, I feel like.
Yeah, but they're
like,
subscribing to a sports team so that they can find somewhat, they can get a sense of community from it.
How do we?
So it's not actually the sports team itself that they're going for. It's being, again, being classified within that group because it gives them, you know, some sort of comfort.
But that hasn't, is that been the story throughout history or not really?
It's been sort of turbocharged in a globalized world because, like as I said, like back in the day, you didn't have these sorts of issues in your normal day-to-day life because you pretty much lived in a homogenous
society. So we don't really necessarily know the cause, but we can see where it's going to kind of go.
Where is it going to go?
I don't know.
Like, so you can't see where it's going to go.
Well, the way I assume it's going to go is they're going to be like, all right, we're going to have another organized protest of a radical group on either side, and then more people die?
No, well,
sounds
look,
good to me.
Well, I don't think you can solve
friendly
this.
Friendly Jimmy's is,
as everyone always says on the net,
not so friendly.
Wow, never heard that one before.
Ali,
good call.
What do you? I mean, I don't know. It's just,
you can't solve this. What you can do is, again, my take is, if you wanna, you can only minimize this, and the way to minimize this is make sure that most people in your society are fed. They've got home. So basically your standard of living is good enough where you're gracious enough to accept change.
We've got that in Australia and it's trickling down because of America.
Do you
that's
reckon?
What's so annoying about people here going, check your privilege, white people. They're only saying that because Netflix is telling them to say
it.
So we really are talking about dumb people here.
I mean,
let's not beat around the bush.
No, I don't think, dude, I don't think that's, again, like, putting that stuff on Netflix, it's because a lot of people want to see that. Because, look, man, a lot of people want to see their sort of issues on TV. So people with different identities want to be able to see themselves on TV. So
you know what the solution is? People get better identities than I'm not a racist.
Again, that's...
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're killing it at life.
Well, that's a very... that's
yeah,
a very...
much the bare minimum. Of being a decent human being.
Sometimes you don't choose your identity, man. Sometimes the society that you live around chooses it for you.
Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that people need... The solution is for people to realize that you aren't just a leaf in the wind. You can cultivate your own personality and come up with your own ideas.
But that requires...
You don't have to come up with your politics by looking at Kendall Jenner in the Join the Conversation Pepsi commercial and going,
yeah.
I want to be on the Join the Conversation side.
Well, it's funny.
Yeah, that requires more more content in life. You know what? What's the Maslow's pyramid of hierarchy, where you need certain needs in your life, and then eventually the top of the pyramid is the status of self-actualization, where you've ticked all your boxes.
Well, you know, which is amazing, because all of these piece of shit websites that I can't stand, sometimes they give me good press, sometimes they don't, but secretly I hate them all. Those stupid e-magazines that basically just rewrite ABC articles with words like lit and said what? Stupid, dumb Gen Y stuff. Anyway, they, when I did a show on self-help, kept saying, huh, self-actualization bullshit, what, like talking about absolute shit, and then going, oh my God, Chris Lilley tweeted something about saying the N-word. It's not the right time to do that, and it's 2017.
I have,
you know, like spot these on. Pieces of shit. To me, it seems very uneducated and dumb. And I fundamentally disagree with you, Ali, that these are smart people.
Well,
it just seems.
I'm not
so
saying
petty.
That they're smart, but what I'm saying is that they're, even if they are uneducated or educated, that is not contributing to the way that they're behaving. Like, there's other factors that are playing much more important roles.
It's funny.
If I may paraphrase a 1980 sitcom, True Debt.
It's funny because, funnily enough, this topic has been touched up in the chapter I'm in Pat Buchanan's Death of the West, which I've managed to churn a little bit more through. And it's funny because I actually think there's a point here that might be significant. It tries to decipher. I just started reading this chapter, so it's kind of frustrating that I haven't gotten further. But it got to the part where it's like, why did cultural Marxism sort of seep into the zeitgeist of the West? This sort of like constant barrage of like self-hatred and stuff like that. And he's trying to locate the pinpoint the reasons why. And apart from like post-World War II and the baby boomers, apart from having a bigger expenditure, higher, you know, the middle class rose, higher standard of living, that kind of thing.
What does that leave to self-hate?
Well, that equates to boredom.
Say no more.
Well,
and
I don't
mass
think-
boredom. And when you get to the point where you have time to sit around in a pool and really tear apart, micro-analyze, like, not even just your society, but particular something like microaggressions, which assumes that something in your subconscious is attacking someone else's subconscious on things like race and predisposed income without you even knowing it. I mean, I don't know. That seems kind of, I don't know, dumb?
Well,
illogical?
No, okay.
I'm on Miss Love's side again.
I obviously have a different take to it because,
okay,
as Jordan mentioned, I am a Marxist. So
yeah.
I don't think it's self-hate, man. Well, it boils down to like, okay, before the nation state, like the way that we live now, where states control most of the things. So, for example, in Australia, this if you screw up, then the state will provide you with welfare benefits.
I don't think
right?
Australia is like that. I'm talking more
no,
about
no, no,
America.
No. I'm giving you an example. And then I'll sort of stick the two together. So
please let me reiterate.
Yeah. So in Australia, if let's say you lose your job, then the government will provide you welfare benefits. If you need education, the government will provide you education,
yeah,
Medicare, so on and so on.
Yeah.
Before, and this is formed because we managed to get a state that is powerful enough to be able to do this, right? Before the nation state existed, these sorts of duties, people still needed to get medical attention. People still needed food. How do you do it? So communities would be able to do it amongst themselves, right? For example, in your, which is why like ethnic families are a lot more stuck together and forceful in how they want to do things, because they come from that tradition where there was an absence of state that provided all of these things for them.
Yeah.
So they need to stick together in order to survive.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after the formation of the nation state was that these all of these duties, which the communities and families would provide for each other, got outsourced to the state. But just because they got outsourced to the state does not mean that everything was fixed. So when you walk about in today's Martin Place and you see some homeless person, you don't know how to feel about that. A, it's, well, because the state's telling you it's not your duty to worry about this, right? But you're also realizing that, well, you're not doing anything about it either. My evolutionary biology is telling me that something needs to happen about this, right? So someone needs to be taking care of this man. If communities aren't doing it, then the state might as well do it. If the state's not doing it, then how do we build a state that will be able to solve all of these issues? And that's where Marxism comes in. Where Marxism provided an avenue in an ideal world. I'm not saying that it will work, but in an ideal world, it would fix all of these issues, where as a whole state, we can form a massive community. That gives
I think what you meant to say is something more like cuddly capitalism, because Marxism is going to create the same vacuum.
No, I'm not saying what it will do or what it won't do.
Or Nimbin.
No, saying what it will. It will be the worst thing ever. I'm not arguing about how effective it is.
Okay.
But the ideology behind it is supposedly that you'll walk into a paradise where everyone's taken care of by the state. So you don't have to live with this burden, which is why, like, when people see homeless, they often say, some decisions that they've made in their life have led them to this position, right? That's also not necessarily something that they believe in, but that's one way to comfort yourself, because how else do you deal with this situation if you don't believe in that?
But wait, what's this got to do with, like, the apathy of the West? I'm talking about, like...
No, what you were talking about cultural Marxism... Marxism is apathy. I think cultural Marxism is the opposite of apathy, where like they could argue that you're apathetic about things and you don't want to change things and you don't care about, you know, people that aren't part of your immediate group.
I'm going to have to butt in here. Miss Love is not apathetic.
No.
I mean, look at him dressed in pajamas.
No, but I get what you're saying. I think in terms of the cultural Marxism, it was more the idea of like perfection, sort of like perfection can't be met, can't be achieved. You know what I mean? This idea that like you are always accountable to be critiqued in the eyes of,
Wait, how do you define cultural Marxism?
Well, essentially,
the way that Pat Buchanan does.
Yeah, well, how does he define it?
He defines it as a means... Essentially, you know the Frankfurt School of...
Yeah.
Whatever it was called? They formed it after World... was it World War One?
No, well, yeah.
Frankfurt School.
He's talking about Keynesianism.
No. Frankfurt School is... it's a branch of constructive... anyways, yeah, go on.
M something. The guy who started it. Anyway, essentially... it's essentially a critique of capitalism to the point of it's just applying Marxism to a capitalist society and critiquing capitalism.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Lots of stuff.
Like what?
Like,
do you think it's wrong to criticize capitalism?
Well, I think it's wrong to criticize capitalism if the alternative is implementing full Marxism.
No, because it's been criticism proven. Is different from enacting... Look, criticism is extremely important, man.
Criticism is important.
And from all lenses, including Marxism. Like,
but a lot of those ideas that have been perpetuated are like extremism, essentially. It's like hardcore shit. It's not just like, we should raise taxes for corporations. It's like, not that. It's like, we need radical revolution by minorities in America to win back... You know, all that kind of shit.
I think, well, look,
we should turn
firstly,
our babies into Frankfurt, the school of
Frankfurt. Actually, no, you know what?
I don't think that, like, how do you bring a revolution through minorities? That in itself is a flawed thing to say. Like, you can't bring a revolution. Dude, revolution means
you need to
get rid of the state, which means you need the massive majority. Dude, states don't let go that easily, man. Like,
I know that. But, you know.
So, look,
I mean,
what I'm trying
to
say is
they
that.
They had a foothold in terms of history. It's not like.
Minorities?
Marxism, communism
has depended on mass majorities.
I know.
In places where they actually managed to succeed.
It happened.
It's not a revolution by more. What I'm trying to say is that, dude. Okay, you might not agree with that.
Yeah.
If you are saying that it's too extreme, whatever you think that they're saying, then I don't necessarily think that should be banned or should not be talked about.
Shouldn't be banned. I mean, look, you can, of like, course, it's a free...
Like, it's a free society, right? So people get to say, and if, for example, tomorrow, if most people in Australia decide to follow that ideology, then you should be fine with it. And similarly, if most Marxists feel that they're losing out because most of Australians don't agree with that, then they should shut up, right?
I understand what you're saying. It's like a free market thing.
Yeah, it's a free market thing. I mean, and don't be afraid of any lens. Like, Marxism has got a bad name because it's kind of like, you know how like everything bad can be equated to some, like a dictator like Hitler or something, right? Like, anything evil equals Hitler.
I mean, only that's what like a lot of dumb people do. But I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. That happens with Marxism too, man. Marxism is an extremely intelligent. And in terms of critique to capitalism,
I mean, Marxism,
very spot on.
Different things and the specific, but I mean, like, you can obviously equate communism to Mao or Stalin or, you know, any of these.
Not why? Why do you have to?
Because,
and it's not necessarily true.
Because
neither of them did anything close to what communism was advocating.
That's true, but I mean, when you have a.
It's so good that we're talking about how awesome communism is on a commercial radio station. Traffic reports where it was just going, yeah, the traffic's looking all right. Yeah, why don't you go get yourself a hummus and tzatziki chicken burger
when you have a death list that is so far, so long. It's like, you know, and it's such a recurring thing. It's essentially like having a murderer committing 10 murders.
Wait, death list? Go define this death list that you're talking about.
How many people did Mao kill? Billion?
A billion?
No, not a billion.
A lot.
They say 35 million.
Okay.
But
small number. Oh, you're doubling it.
In comparison,
but again, look, I'm not defending Mao here.
Small potatoes. That's not even a small fries at McDonald's. A small fries is a third. That would be 300 million. So you're really asking for a couple of chips from McDonald's. I give away that for free, though.
But again, look, I'm not trying to defend Mao or killings, but
I don't
when people say that Mao
killed
35 million people, he didn't actually go out and kill them. They died mostly from bad economic decisions.
With a machine gun for 60 years.
Yeah, and Macca's didn't kill anyone either. You know, directly, but they did.
No, but like, okay, this is kind of like, okay, what if I say that all of those people that died from plague was a direct result from the government of the time because they couldn't manage that issue?
So every sort of communist regime has had plagues of the plague, and it's just, that's just how it's gone down. It's just coincidental.
Well, not everyone,
it is a little bit true. Okay, so in Russia, for instance, the reason why they started collectivizing farms is because they weren't producing enough grain to feed the population.
Mm.
And so they put in measures to try and fix that, and then it obviously made more people starve. But the point is that the starvation was already there.
Yeah, people died. A lot of people died under Tsar, pre-communist Russia as well. It just doesn't fit into the narrative of like...
Oh, how convenient they also died under that.
How many more regimes that happened? Like,
and Russia is prone to this issue, man. Because like, if you look at Russia's geography, it's completely different from America. America lives in like... America is the paradise. Literally, where all the rivers flow in a perfect way, where like food supplies can be put through everyone. The Mississippi River flows from the north to the south.
Tom Sawyer's there.
But you're
Russia doesn't have a Tom Sawyer. They've just got a bear that can juggle.
But you're equating communism with cultural Marxism. It's not exactly like it also falls under the umbrella of things like ethnomasochism, complete disregard of patriarchy, disregard of. It's essentially the Antifa whole like shtick, you know. The post-colonial world is just as racist as the pre, you know. I mean, as the
it
colonial
just seems
world
like an invented
like
buzz term to scare people.
What is what
such
does?
As McBain saying "commie Nazis" at 12 o'clock?
Commie Nazis. I think that it's a little bit different. Commie Nazis.
Don't you think it's cultural Marxism?
Yeah.
Marx didn't even talk about culture. It was all economics.
Well,
Marx was like at least 95% economics.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I mean. It's not, I don't know, maybe the term broadened you know, in the post-war era. I don't know.
It sure
but I
mean,
Pat
did,
Buchanan.
Man.
I don't think Pat Buchanan coined it.
Well, what I'm trying to say is no. if you want to invent
the word canon.
No, bro.
Is he the owner of Canon printers?
No,
well,
but
it's
he
good
probably
to get these
likes,
things on the record.
He probably likes howitzers, if that's what you're going for.
I'm a Hewitt Packard man, myself.
Look, okay,
we're getting off topic. Like, I don't want to go into broad concepts. Like, is capitalism better? But all I'm saying, like, I don't even know how the hell I got to that.
Look,
boredom. I was talking about whether. We're talking about the causes of fraction radical groups and what might be the reason. And there's obviously a million.
I don't think Marxism is the reason, though. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. But would you say, like, I mean, I don't know, but would you say that is, you have to admit, complacency, I mean, apart from laziness, garners, you know, some forms of, like, extremism. A lot of the time. I mean, even if it's like the rebellion of like punk rock in like the 80s where like kids were like going, this, you know, in LA having like mass street fights and stuff. It's like a lot of that was because of a lack of resources, but a lot of it was just, you know, boredom and frustration. But
it's a real open-ended question.
Young people are full of
energy. It doesn't really have an answer to it. Much like this next segment, because we're running out of time.
So we'll have to continue another time, but we will solve America's problems yet. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, hopefully.
But in the meantime, we're going to ponder on what is Glenn Butcher doing right now?
Let's get to the real questions here, people.
Yeah, the more
God, I love this podcast.
It's such a good mix, isn't
it?
It really is.
So Glenn Butcher, just so you don't know, Ali, because you weren't here, but in the 90s, there was a game show called Sale of the Century. And I didn't know who this was either, by the way, Ali.
He had to tell me.
I don't know why we're talking about male porn stars so much, but he looks exactly like Peter North. And it makes me wonder, did he just go into that? Glenn Butcher is, I can't find a picture of him. Everybody else Google him at home because you've probably forgotten what he looks like. A fairly handsome man. He looks like he owns 5 to 6 shoe warehouses.
I think I know who this is now.
I don't.
It's such a futuristic. It looks like the scene of Star Trek.
He's one of those typical, you know, like kind of like our Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I don't know why I feel that guy is performing as an extra on the theatrical version, the stage version of Mad Max and Pert's Inner Work.
Oh, man, that would make me very, very happy.
The really sentimental part of Mad Max the Musical is him singing about how much he loves his dog.
Can I still play the piano? Of course you can. Well, I couldn't before.
Don't want to slash your throat because you're wearing a hockey mask and I've never seen your face. And he casually mentions it to all of the crew that he's hung out with Mel Gibson heaps of times.
Yeah, me and Mel go way back, actually. Yeah. I was the one who punched him in the face, which actually got him the role of Mad Max in the first place.
I originally hated the Jews. I originally hated the Jews. I just told him and he followed.
Yeah, Christ. Every time there was somebody there on the show going, the Basil isn't working, he's going, yes, it is, and just keeps moving on. It was always a Jewish guy.
It stinks in there.
No, it doesn't.
God, that's so good.
Hey, so, you reckon that? What do you reckon Glenn Butcher's doing right now?
Man.
Do you think that he is a butcher purely because of his last name? And he's really bad at his job.
I reckon.
God, I wish I could just go back to asking, who am I?
I reckon he's. He's partial to slapping around his wife. And I think right now, sorry mate, but I'm just putting it out there. And I reckon right now,
so slanderous.
He's in a wide lagoon in Noosa fly fishing some brim.
Oh, that's
likely probably pretty
realistic.
He's fishing.
Yeah, most likely
he's fishing
happening.
And he's enjoying himself, you know.
And if you open up the esky where the fish is supposedly
bees.
Yes.
All four X's.
Very rare parakeets that he's going to sell to Indonesia.
Always,
so every time the river cup comes back, just going, hey, just having a nice show, barramundi, and just pulls one out that's always just on the line. So he could go,
always
you want
grifting.
A quiche? All right, cheer then, poor wretch.
Always grifting. What do you reckon?
I reckon Glenn Butcher had a face job. and is now Ray Hadley on 2GP.
What?
Wow. That is
Guys, guys got some inside information.
Can you imagine it just going, you're listening to 2GB with Glenn, but sorry, Ray Hadley here, and my God, grabs everywhere. Absolutely grabs everywhere.
Of the highest order. Mate, I just, I think that's actually not a bad call. And just on as a side note, God, I hope I turn into him one day.
Ray Hadley or Glenn Butcher?
Just
wait, so you want to be fishing in Noosa?
All right, I'll be Glenn Butcher then, and you be Ray Hadley.
Yes.
And Ali be the guy that goes, my buzzer isn't working.
No, that's not fair.
I
can be
promise the buzzer isn't working. This is unfair.
Nah, it's fine. You're just a bad sport, Ali.
Don't go hard on the Marxist. He is wishing for the best. That's what I will I'll give you that. He wants the best. Just like me. Hey. Now everybody come around, sing together, everybody love one another, everybody loving one another right now.
Oh, that's lovely. We don't need an outro song, do we? See you next week, guys, where hopefully Miss Love will spurt into more hippie songs without any instrumentals.
Peace and love.
Peace.
Love you.